And the sermon starts. The second reading is guidance for us, but the first reading is the message. Though there will be a bit of silence during the sermon, it's for a reason. Today, I'm going to discuss with you the first lesson taught. Was that a good teacher? I don't think so. I've never had a teacher or instructor point me to a book and keep their mouth shut. Not one. I am not here to promote or go against any of your beliefs. I'm here to bring back to light something that I found important to me. 8 years ago, I was told I would never see tomorrow. I would never see January 2010. I had several cancers and a brain tumor and no hope to live. They wouldn't even treat me. So New Year's Eve was very important to me. When the pastor asked me to preach a message and he had several dates, I said, I'll take anything you want. I was hoping for today. When he told me I had today, I was so happy he figured it out. And I said, I have a message for today that I think will help us face tomorrow a whole lot better. I am, as some of you know, I'm very conservative in my beliefs. And I really believe in prayer big time. One thing I learned when I was in seminary, besides all these huge words that I had never heard of and wondered why they didn't just speak English, was that when you pray in a congregation and there's a person up here praying, I just thought you bowed your head and kept quiet like a good kid does. I didn't know you're supposed to pray with them. So that started me thinking about what things do I not know about the Christian walk that we should know. We're very busy. I know you know what busy is. We're very, very busy in our lives. And there's a lot of ministers that I know that tell me in seminary and out that they don't have time to pray. And I experienced for a bit there why they don't have time to pray. And that hinders church growth. It hinders your walk. But more importantly, going back even a step further, before we had the New Testament, now that Bible is 1629, and I was going to read the second bunch of sermon, you know, verses there, but once you was reading, it touched me, and I realized I don't need to go into that second session. That second session is our instructions of what we're supposed to do, and I'm out there working. I know exactly what it's like to be out there on Christmas Eve and have someone yell at me because they're not being waited on as fast as they think they should be. So I understand that second session, but going backwards, I just want to go backwards and focus our eyes, because I think this next year we're going to be faced with a lot of challenges personally. If we go back before the New Testament was even written, before the first letter was even sent to one of the churches, and we have a bunch of followers and the church was growing exponentially, what was going on? You had the Old Testament and scrolls in temples and synagogues. They were very expensive because they were handwritten and proofread more than once. So those scrolls were protected. I've been in synagogues. Those things are protected. And you don't just roll them out to read. So you get your meat from the Old Testament on the Sabbath, and you're supposed to remember it and go home with it. The New Testament wasn't written yet. So how did the church grow? If we look at what Jesus did, he took his disciples, and he made disciples by what you do with your children. You teach them, and you hope, and you pray, and you pray, and you hope that they're going to turn out okay. And when they don't, and you see them making the same mistakes you did, you're okay with that because you know they're going to make it. So he was discipling them, and he was seeing what they're doing. And he understood that they're growing. We're not perfect. But if we can't forgive ourselves for the mistakes that we make, we will not be able to forgive others. And God calls us to love one another. That means loving ourselves. And it's hard sometimes to do. The text that I really, really want to focus on is draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. But there's a second part to that verse. You need to purify your heart and you need to cleanse your hands. Now that second bunch of scripture that was there is about cleansing your hands. Purifying your heart, you can do that much simpler by taking time to be with God. Now grant you, when I was first saved, I didn't know how to pray. I was raised in a church and I didn't know how to pray. And I went to one of my, the lady who owned the Christian bookstore, I went to her and I told her, I said, I don't know how to pray. Anyway, I took her aside because I didn't want anybody else to hear me. And she told me, she said, well, I could give you these prayer books and all this stuff. And I'm like, no, I don't want to worship an idol. I know that God lives because I read about Enoch and Moses and all them walking with God. I want the God that lives. She said, well, then why don't you just do what you're telling me and go to prayer and talk to him like you're doing to me. And I did. And I told God straight out, I don't know how to pray. I just don't know how to do this. And my prayers lasted a minute and a half. And when I tried for 5 minutes, I'd be falling asleep on my knees. And I'm like, well, how did these guys pray for all this long time? And so I kept at it, kept at it, kept asking God, teach me to pray, teach me to pray. And then I said to him one time, I goes, you know, when I was a kid, you taught me that Enoch walked and talked with you and that you were happy. And I've always wanted to be like Enoch. Teach me to pray. Teach me to talk with you. Teach me to walk with you. I don't want to worship no idol because it won't last. I'll walk away from an idol religion in a second. I won't do it. Teach me who you are and help me to do what you want me to do. I never knew I'd be standing here. It's the last thing in the world I ever wanted to do. It was that during that time frame. I was very, very materialistic. And the Lord did. He had me fall asleep. The book that I was reading, it definitely was not, could not come out of that book because that guy, whew, terrible guy, I later learned. But he taught me what I thought was in the book. I thought it was in that book. I bought boxes of these books, and I gave them out to everybody. This teaches you how to walk and talk with God. I gave it out to everybody. And then I found out when I went to reread it, it wasn't in that book at all. And I talked to God about it, and he said, I needed to bring to your attention that your faith will open the door for our intimate relationship. So that's where I'm at today. We backtrack this walk with God. We get away from the New Testament. And what happened to make the church grow? They prayed. It's been proven with the people who are experts in revivals, and I'm talking the ones who literally were blessed enough to have them, that they all say that the number one thing to start a revival and a great awakening, to grow your church and to grow yourself, is prayer. The fastest way to stop a revival and a great awakening is to stop praying. There was a situation, I believe it was in Pennsylvania, they had 14 years of revival in the wintertime. This is horse and buggy, this is not cars. And the next year they didn't have anything. So the church got together and said, what happened? And one of the farmers finally got up because he realized his fault, and he said, it's my fault. For the last 14 years prior, I would take Saturday evening and pray from 6 o'clock until 9 every night for the church and for the people and for the community. And that was during the winter. And every winter they had a revival, full blown. And then he said, and I got comfortable and didn't do it this last year. And the revival stopped and never came back. Charles Finney wrote about that in one of his books about revival. So prayer is very, very important. For your church growth, it takes one person to pray to change and grow this church. Just one. And prayer is very important. Talking with God and walking with God is very important. God wants us to do that. Now, I'm conservative. Let's get that straight. I'm very conservative. I will leave myself open to other people's beliefs and respect that. I'm not comfortable doing certain things. Just not yet anyways. But one thing I do know is Jesus said that he gave us, and that's in the scripture that was just read, that he gave us the Holy Spirit to be our teacher, to be our advocate, to pray for us. Now, the teachers that I know, a lot of people refer to the Holy Spirit as an it. I think that is extraordinarily disrespectful to call one of the Godhead it. What I have learned in these years that I've been a Christian is that the Holy Spirit is the sensitive side of God. When you allow him to talk to you and to guide your footsteps, it's not easy. Because when you first think it, you're thinking, well, that's just me. That's just in my head. And it's very hard. A.W. Tozer has several series. They're on YouTube. You can listen to them. About how to listen, how to recognize God's voice, how to recognize Jesus' voice, how to recognize the devil's voice, your voice, and the Holy Spirit. How to cultivate your walk with the Holy Spirit. There's several of those in there. They're very good. They're very short, but they're good. And he talks about that your walk with the Holy Spirit to grow closer to God, because let's face it, that's what we want to do, is draw closer to God. is you have to be in union with the Holy Spirit. You have to be in like agreement and allow him to grow you. And by doing so, you need to be open to talking with him and to be praying and to spend your time as much as you can thanking the Lord for the things that he's given you. Spending those quality times of being honest. When I had the chemo going on and I was just as sick as a dog, there was times that I had bad news delivered to me and I would about my treatment, and I would shut the world out for a whole day. And I would call my godmother and I would tell her, this is what I'm doing, leave me alone. I talked to my minister, tell him the same thing. I checked myself in for a whole day and just mope. And I got out of it by going to God, and I said to him, I don't understand. I have given you everything. I have walked with you for 4 years. I have given you all my money, all my possessions. I'm as poor as they come, and I don't get it. I was rich, and now I'm poor. I was very vulgar, and now I'm walking with you. And I hear people in the church, not this one, that say, well, what did he do wrong that God cursed him? And I didn't care. You can do anything you want with my personality. I mean, with my reputation. I don't care. And I said, I don't get it, God. Is there something I haven't done? Is there something in my heart that have I not forgiven everybody? What do I need to do? And I just took it to him. And I just told him, I don't get it. I don't understand. I had a bad day, and I told him. I respected that. The next day, I felt better. My walk with him was better. My devotions were better. I was honest with him. I told him how I felt. I watched loved ones die who I knew were not going to heaven. And I didn't understand why they didn't go. And then he taught me, walk with me and continue praying. Continue learning about my Holy Spirit, who I've given you as a teacher, and respect him. He opened the door when I was reading the biography of Andrew Murray, missionary and preacher, big time, in South Africa. He's Dutch. And in his biography, it was written that he had fallen on the streets, and everybody knew him, had fallen on the streets, and everybody stopped traffic. The policeman ran over to help him up. And he told the people there and the policeman, he said, I stumbled. He said, I was talking with the Holy Spirit, who is louder than your voice, and he stopped talking to me, and I was distracted, and I fell. I thought, okay, so how can the Holy Spirit be that loud to you that he's louder than me talking to you? So I read a couple other people. Corey Ten Boom talks about walking with God. Brother Lawrence talks about it. Madam Jean Guion talks about it. There's all these people talking about talking with God, walking with God. Not talking in tongues. We're talking with God. You know, you're in prayer and all that. And God interrupted me one time, and he said, okay, now I want you to draw close, but I want you to stop disrespecting me. I'm like, okay, what have I done? And he goes, when you pray to an idol, because you get up as soon as you say amen, and you're done, and you're extraordinarily rude. He said, if you were in the presence of Queen Elizabeth, who he knew I absolutely loved, he said, if you were in the presence of Queen Elizabeth with an audience, would you go in there with your list of petitions, read them out to her, and then as soon as you get done, get up, turn around, and walk away? Or would you allow her to answer you back? If she had the power to kill you that moment for being disrespectful, would you have the nerve to do that? I said, no. Why do you do it to me? When you pray to me, why do you not give me time to answer? I thought about it. I thought, that's very correct. I'm in your presence. I'm giving you my petitions. I'm praying to you. I'm not expecting an answer. He said, start waiting on me. So I started. Several months went by, nothing. Finally, he talked to me. And then since then, it's not been all the time, but since then I've given him the time when I get done praying to talk with me. And then that with faith opens the door. When you give the Holy Spirit, the sensitive side of God, the opportunity to teach you, he's going to use the Bible. He's going to use you. He's definitely going to use you to bring us the diamond dust to grind away and polish the rough surfaces of us to make us into that diamond that's going to shine for God to the world. I'm here today because my cousin lived for God. He didn't witness to me. I watched him. I said, if God's God, he'll take care of my cousin. He was like 12 years older than me. If he's not, and he stumbles at all, I know there's no God. I watched that man live, fight in Vietnam, come back, suffer the after effects of Agent Orange, lose his liver, get a transplant, finally die from liver problems. I watched his wife and his kids during that mess and after. My cousin never gave up God. He was never destitute. His wife was never destitute. She still isn't. And the kids are grown and they're on their own. And when I saw that, I said to his mother, I want your God. It's plain as day. I want your God. She was 96 at the time. I said, I want your God. And I asked God into my life. And God granted my wish. I wanted a personal God. I wanted to be like Jesus. Jesus talks in John 14 and through 17 about being united to God. We need to follow Christ's example and teachings. He taught us by example that he prayed a lot. He gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us. Now, you saw me when I first started. I held the Bible up to you and didn't say a word. That's not a teacher. A teacher would never do that. And if you look it up, the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He's the third part of the Godhead, and he's there to teach us. The Bible is to teach us. You all are to teach me. I am to teach you. The Holy Spirit has this place where he is to guide and teach us. The more we allow him, the more he'll walk and talk with us. And then the more we become Christ-like. And the struggles that we face in our life, the emptiness that we get, the bitterness that we feel, will be resolved because you'll be able to take him to God and tell him, in all honesty, I don't understand. Why did you do this to me? I don't get it. Take it to him. Take the good, take the bad. Tell it, lay it out. Let the Holy Spirit teach you why. I praise God every day that I had cancer. I have learned so much compassion for those that I never would have understood. And the more problems I go through in life, the more I learn. God has his reasons. He has his reasons for why you're here today, and I'm here talking to you about this. This is very basic. We get our personal relationship with God going. We add in their prayer with respect and wait for God to answer us, take away the idol and bring back a living God into our lives, and pray with faith. And this church could explode where you can't get through the aisles, and there'll be people sitting up here. Because all it takes is one person. One person. But what's important to us each and every one of us is we might not see tomorrow and we might not see the next New Year's. Do you want to go out on a good note, a very close note, and give God what you can give, which is time and prayer? Or do you want to just survive? I don't think you want to survive. You guys are very loving. It's obvious. So my suggestion to you is take the first step because the scripture says, basically, you draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. We're the students, so we're to sit and listen and do what he tells us to do. You know, that's the end of the sermon. Listen to God. Learn the first lesson. The rest of it will become easy. It's not easy to make that walk. It's very hard out there, especially when someone throws something at you like they did yesterday. And curses you. It's very hard to step back and say, I'm walking away from the situation without saying a word. It's hard. But God will give you the grace. And if you follow the Holy Spirit's teachings when he tells you, shut up and get out of here, then you'll avoid having to pay penalties for it. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hearts, purify your minds, and start a new walk with God with a new year. And you'll learn that God will draw nearer to you, giving you more love, more understanding. And may God bless you.